Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. I'm a concierge high-performance psychologist providing luxury-level support to executives, entrepreneurs, celebrities, dignitaries, and athletes. With me today, I have Raquel Packets. She is the owner of Zen Freight Solutions, where they do third-party transportation. She is the founder of the podcast Trucker Talks and an author who will be releasing her second book called Unleashing Your Soul-Level Magic in March. I have Dawn Gagey. She is a strategic marketing guide and does done-for-you marketing strategies that eliminate the stress and confusion. And I have Atif Agha. He is a technology specialist doing data analytics and an avid runner. The question today, how do you handle someone crying at work? Raquel, start us off.
Sure. So I'm very much so an empathetic leader. The very first step I want to do is connect with that person and find out what it is. What is this, an emotion coming from personal life or overwhelm? Or is this an emotion from something that we're dealing with currently right now that is you don't understand? It's really a matter of trying to unravel the emotions and get to the bottom of what it is that's causing the crying. And then really just a lot of communication from there.
I recently had a situation where I had to deal with that. But it's again, I think you said it right, Raquel. We have to be empathetic to people. We work with them, we care for them, but at the same time, there's a fine line we have to draw. Is it a personal issue that I don't really want to be engaged in? Or is it something that's at work that's bothering them that maybe I could provide a good listening ear and maybe a little bit of a direction and maybe help if I can? But you have to be very careful. The way I handled that situation when at work, I really leaned in and said, I'm here to help whatever I can. I'm happy to listen in and understand what's going on. And then I also engaged with their manager in terms of, I think they might be dealing with some frustration that I would like you to also help them understand what's going on and how we can really help them. Because obviously that's not the ideal situation. We should never have anybody at a point where they're so upset that they're crying.
Mm-hmm. I find when this has happened in the past, I revert in a similar way to what Raquel has shared. It seems like you're really upset about something. Would you like to tell me more? And kind of let them lead the conversation. I think it's also hard to make an assumption. We all are empathetic people, clearly on this conversation today. And I want to make sure that I'm not making assumptions like, oh, could something be wrong that I said or I did as a manager or a leader? So asking more of an open-ended question when it's suitable. I think one of the benefits of just being an empathetic person is getting a quick read on a person if they're exhibiting any kind of outward emotion. Sometimes it's just best to see, like, I see you're really upset. I'm just going to sit with you for a second until you're ready to talk. And then when you're ready to talk, I'm really curious about what seems to be making you so upset right now. I find that that line gets a little blurry at work versus like Atif, what you had shared. I'm an all-in person. I agree with the leaning in, but it's like my first instinct is to lean into that conversation and make sure that we get stable first so that we can really get clear on what exactly is going on. And then asking more probative questions without maybe turning up the volume on the upset so that can be a stabilizing force rather than a igniting force on those conversations.
Is there any risk when you're at work of crossing a line where it becomes not professional because you're so empathetic that you become engaged in the situation in a way that's not appropriate for the workspace?
Yeah, that's a good question. Of course, there's always this boundary that you don't want to cross. And my goal would always just be to stabilize first and then decide from a leadership position what the best next step is for that person and how to make sure that the problem's being addressed, but in the proper way.
And, you know, there are a lot of resources available. Work environment in large corporations, it's a very fine line is what you should be very careful about. If someone is at a point where they're actually crying, you have to understand, you have to be empathetic. Of course, we all are, but we need to understand how to really help them. I've switched from trying to solve every problem to really learn to have other people lean in and help too. I think it's important to understand you may not be the person who's going to actually solve that problem. That's important to understand and really get an idea on that. It could be related to some other problem that they're dealing with and could be personal. And I very likely don't want to be involved in that. So how do you really help them without really feeling like you don't care? Well, you do care, of course, but at the same time, you have to make the right choice.
I get a little bit too personal, I guess. As I'm hearing this, I'm like, well, I don't really know if I have clear boundaries on those. My employees are young and in another country. And so a lot of times I'm leading them through personal things, as well as they're in their early 20s and they just need guidance. I try to just hear them out and make sure they know they have a support system in some sort of way.
Do you think that crying at work still creates the judgment of, oh, you're weak, you don't have control of yourself, you need to get your act together? Is that still a thing in the workspace?
Yes and no. No for my company, because I am the leader and I often have the same problems. But yes, because when I'm in a meeting with my husband and that comes up, it's one of those things that I need to be able to be present and set my emotions aside. So I think it does come up quite often still in the workplace. It's a little different for my small business.
Yeah, I think it's always a thing, at least in companies with a large number of people are there. It's always a thing. If you're at a point where you end up crying, it is a very serious situation because it's not normal. I don't want anybody to see that as normal. Yes, you could have challenges. You could talk to your people. You could talk to your friends or colleagues. But if you're at a point where you're really crying, that does reflect to some extent that you may not be handling the situation very well, or you may be at a point where you do need help. So, that's how I will look at it, but maybe it's the guy's perspective.
In my own business experiences, it also depends on what type of level of culture has established the safety to express yourself. I've worked in some pretty buttoned up organizations on the larger end of the corporate spectrum and smaller. And I felt like at some point in time, like the larger corporations tended to be a little more accepting of the expression versus the smaller environments. It's also possible to, based on your, again, the culture, like how that is interpreted, any kind of expression of emotion, even if it's laughing, for example. What's the standard in that particular environment for what we see as weak? And I think that if you have a really solid culture where people are allowed to feel safe and vulnerable, that's actually a reflection of strength, because you're seeing the ability for people to really stand in their truth, which trickles down. You want to make sure that your team is functioning at a healthy level at all times. Your team's not going to be robotic. They're not robots. And if you're a leader, and I think a lot about Simon Sinek and even a little bit about Dave Ramsey, they have great examples in their storytelling of whether it's within their own organizations or outside of that. A good determinant of a healthy company culture is the ability to lean in with some vulnerability to your team and your team's strength. So if I'm not seeing any emotion from my team, I'm also going to be kind of concerned.
I think the other thing to consider is that crying has so many different emotions that manifest that way. If you're super, super frustrated, if you're really angry, I know for me, when I get to the point that I'm in tears, I am probably pretty mad and I should probably walk away because it is not a good thing. And I don't want to be coddled. I don't want somebody saying to me, oh, I see. No, I am pissed and I need to step away from this. So I think that that's the other thing, is to consider when someone is in tears, there are so many underlying emotions often.
And that's the fine line you have to be careful with when you're leaning in to help. You mentioned Simon Sinek. It's very important for leaders to build the right culture of support, without a doubt. But it's also important to understand when some people are very emotional and they are sometimes just every single thing is a problem. And then you don't want to promote that either. But that's something you have to understand about people and then make the right decision, but still have to be supportive. And we are people. Somebody lost their parent and they're going to be very sad, and you want to be supportive, and they may shed a tear or two for that, or absolutely you should. I agree with that. I think it's important to build the right culture as a leader.
I think what the three of you are saying is you really need to know your employees, know yourself, and just pay attention, realize they're not, like you said, robots, that they're going to come with emotions, and how you handle that is going to mean managing yourself and being there for whatever it is that they need. So I appreciate the three of you having this conversation with me. I'm glad we didn't make anybody cry, and I look forward to speaking to each of you again really soon.